So we start a perek of chayva. The Mishnah starts off that you have chayva b'chaveros chayv chamisha dvarim nezek tzar ripo shevis and boshes. And the Mishnah say that this is only a chayva adam b'yadam. If you have adam a chayva b'behema, the behema shechav b'yadam, all you pay is nezek. You don't pay the other abad dvarim. The Mordechai quoted an exotic opinion from one of the Rishonim. Oh, no, exotic. It's an interesting opinion that behema shechav b'yadam is only chayv nezek. So what's going to be with the Shevis and what's going to be with the Ripoy? Doesn't have to pay doctor bills. You only pay the difference between. So he wants to say that Boshes and Tsar you don't pay, but maybe Shevis and maybe even Ripoy. Maybe this is all included in Nezek. By Adam Shechava B'Adam. He said we learn it from the Pesukim that we divide him into five different categories: Nezek, Tsar, Ripoy, Shevis, Boshes. But behemah shechav l'biyadam, maybe the sheves with the ripoy should be subsumed under the category of nezek. Maybe everything falls under the category of nezek. And the pashtus says if he's mistapik to say this by behemah shechav l'biyadam, it should be the same by adam shechav l'biyadam. It should also be the same thing. Maybe you pay maybe the sheves with the ripoy would also fall under the category of nezek. Should be the same thing. Possibility? Okay. So the Gemara had a chiddush on pehei on the base that it's possible to have tzar without nezek, boshes without nezek, ripui without nezek. It's possible to have everything separate. The Gemara had on the previous daf, the Gemara had a machlokes satanoim on pehdal on the base. There's machlokes between Rebbe and Ben Azai. What's the din? Are you chayiv tzar shalob amokam nezek? So the Gemara says it's a machloikis hatanayim, but in the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah says that you are chayiv. It's interesting, the Gemara has a machloikis hamarayim there, on the bottom of Peidal on the base. They had a tradition that this is the nekudas machloikis between Rebbe is Rebbe Nanasi, the person who edited the Mishnahis. The Gemara says this is the machloikis in Rebbe and Ben Azai, whether you pay tzar shalob amokam nezek. But they had a machlokes hamara, in which direction is who holds what? The Rebbe holds chayv, Rebbe holds pater. So it's interesting, Rebbe is the editor of the Mishnah, and he put in the Mishnah, Pei Gimel on the base, Kvo al Tziparnov, Kvo b'shpud of the Masne, Afil al Tziparnov, is chayv tzar shalom b'makom nezik. So how can it be that there's one version that Rebbe is the one who holds that you're not chayv tzar b'makom nezik? So he pointed out that it's not a kasha. Rebbe, he edited the Mishnahis, that's what Klali saw, that's a safer psak. He didn't insist on putting in all of his opinions. If his opinion was outvoted, it wasn't accepted, so he was honest about it. He didn't even put it in the footnotes. They didn't have any footnotes in those days. He would have put it in the footnotes. No footnotes, no parentheses that he disagrees. So he was honest. According to one version, that is his opinion. That was the accepted opinion. According to the other version, his opinion was outvoted, so he didn't incorporate it even in the Mishnah. He writes the Stam Mishnah against his own opinion. We found the Rishonim pointed it out on the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin. That the Mishnah starts off in Sanhedrin, Didi Mamanis Bishloisha. Then the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, Rebbe Yoimi Didi Mamanis Bachamisha. So on the bottom of the regular standard edition of the Tosefta, in the end of Sanhedrin, so the Meforish on the bottom quotes his Kasha from one of the Rishonim. But Rebbe's opinion is Bachamisha, how come, and Rebbe's the editor of the Mishnah, how come he writes his Stam Mishnah against his opinion? So he says, obviously his opinion was outvoted, and he knew it wasn't accepted, so he was honest, so he didn't even put it into the Mishnah. So the same over here. So there was a Machlekes HaTanayim, where the Tzar Shalom B'Makom Nezek is Chayv. Our Mishnah holds that you are Chayv. Then the Gemara has that it's possible to have each one of them. Tzar Shalom B'Makom Nezek, Boishe Shalom B'Makom Nezek, and Ripoy Shalom B'Makom Nezek, everything is possible. And Sheva Shalom B'Makom Nezek. What's an example of Sheva Shalom B'Makom Nezek? Hatke B'in Junya U'Batle. I lock the person up in a room and he can't go to work and he loses money that day. So we had the Rosh and the Nemuki Yosef earlier in Bava Kamma. And the Sugya and Davchov of Zenene, the Zeloi Chaser, Gemara discusses Hador B'Chatzel Haver Shalom Midai. On the bottom of Chof and Menalev going over to Amid Beis. The Gemara has a whole discussion, goes a whole blot Gemara. Hador b'chatzel chaver, shalom yidaita, I move into someone else, and someone went there, it's on vacation, I locked his apartment, I climbed through the window, and I'm living there the whole summer that I leave. It's loichaser. He didn't lose anything, but then I saved myself a lot of money. I would have had to pay for an apartment, for the rental of an apartment, and I snuck into his apartment, and he's loichaser. So what's the din of zenen and zalachaser? Whether you pay, you don't pay. So in the middle of that sugya, the Rosh and the Nebuchadnezzar both quote a line from the Talmud Yerushalmi and Bava Metzia, which is accepted lalacha. They assume that the Babli doesn't disagree. Hamavatul kisa shal chavera pato, because it's considered groma benizik. Vatul kisa shal chavera means someone has a wallet full of money. He has thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of money, and he's on his way walking to Wall Street to invest in the stock market, to buy, to sell, to tumult. And with $1,000, he's going to make $5,000 today. And I take he left the money over here. He left the money in the drawer. I come up, I lock the drawer, and he can't get to his money. So because of the fact that I locked the drawer, I can't get to his money, or he has a store. And he usually is open for business the whole day long. And he makes, $500 a day. So I go and I put a lock on the store, and he can't open up the store. So he lost $500 worth of business. The Yerushalmi says that minias harevach, if I prevented him from earning money, that's called grama benizik and pata. It's only called a mazik. Mazik is only the property that he owns, I destroyed it. Well, the property that he owns was valued at the, I have a shas, and it's worth $10, a second-hand shas, worth $10, and the guy ripped out some of the pages, and he burned some of the pages, and now it's only worth $1. If you want to sell it, you won't even get the $10, you'll only get $1. So his mazik came from the moment that he had. But if I wasn't mazik, the moment that he had, I just caused benias harevach, I prevented him from earning money, that's not called adama mazik, that's called grama benizik and pot. It's a similar din by Chalamoy. It's a din of Dovah HaOvid, that you're permitted to do malacha if the malacha is Dovah HaOvid. So the Rishonim say Dovah HaOvid is only if you're going to, let's say, I have a field and I planted and I prepared the whole thing, and now if I'm not going to water the field of Chalamoy, all of the work that I invested is going to go down the drain and nothing is going to grow, or it's going to be a big hefsid moment. But let's say I don't go to work. If I don't go to work, they dock me for my pay. Dock me for in yeshiva. If I don't go to work, you don't go to work. You don't come for a week. So they give you the same salary anyway. They don't dock you for my pay. A person has a normal job. He doesn't show up, so they dock me from work that day. So he's not going to come chalamay. He's the chadova havid. He's losing his salary. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, all the Rishonim say, that's not called dova havid. He's going to do minias harevach by staying home and not working chalamay, not going to earn money. That's what Chalamayit is all about. That's what Shabbos Yontif is all about. You're not supposed to do malacha, even though you're losing salary, even though you're not going to be salaried for that day. It's only called Dovah HaAved if I invested, let's say if I'm going to keep my shop closed on Chalamayit, on the whole Chalamayit, so then the customers are going to get used to going to someone else, and then they're not going to come back to me later on. So I'm losing the customers that I had already. Or the example that the first Mishnah gives in Moed Katan, I had a field and I spent a lot of money buying seed and planting the seeds and watering and working the whole time. Now if I'm not going to do some halachas watering the farm of Chalamay, so it's not going to grow as well. I'm going to have a hefsid. I laid out the money, I'm going to have a hefsid of the money that I laid out already. But minyas harevach, that's not called over, same over here. That's not called mazik. The Yerushalmi says the only exception to the rule. The Yerushalmi of Bava Metzia has it on this Mishnah in the end of Bava Metzia. Mishnah says, if I rent a farm from somebody else, and the agreement is that I'll pay him half the crops, I'll pay him 60% of the crops and I'll get 40%. I'll pay him 30% of the crops and I'll take 70%. Whatever the arrangement happens to be. Each case is going to be different. So what happens if I don't do any? What happens if nothing grows the whole year? Nothing grows. Nothing grows. So he gets nothing. The agreement is he gets 50% or 70% of whatever grows. If nothing grows, he gets 70% of nothing. It's nothing. What happens if it's my fault that nothing grew? I promised them I'm going to take over this field and I'm going to do work. And that's the reason why he rents it to me. He had a bear to rent it to someone else, and I convinced him that I'm such a good worker, he's going to make more money. The 70% of the crops is going to be more valuable if he gives it to me than if he gives it to someone else, because I'm a good farmer. I'm going to do a lot of work. Then it turns out I decide to sit and learn a whole year and I don't do any work at all. So the Mishnah says, I'm chayiv to pay how much the field would have, I'm chayiv to give him 70% of whatever the field would have normally produced in a normal year. Why am I chayiv to pay that? Shekein kaisiv loy, because that was the practice that he used to write into the shtaris all the time that he's going to pay. Emayver v'leyevid, if I will leave the field fallow, so debur. This means if you leave it fallow. Emayver v'leyevid, I will leave the field fallow, v'leyevid, I won't do any work. Ashalim bin meitva. If I write emayver v'leyevid, if I leave the field fallow. Ashalim alfa, zuzi, I'll pay you $100,000. That's the haguzma. That's haguzma. So the Gemara said, that's asnachta lo kanya. Because the reason why he agreed to that, if I leave it fallow, I pay $20,000, that doesn't correspond to how much it's going to be. The hefsid would have been $500, not $20,000. So the reason why he agreed to that is because he thought he's not going to do that. At the time that he agreed to take over the field, to rent the field, he planned that he was going to work. And then later on he decided that he wants to sit and learn all year. So if at the time that he entered into the agreement, he agreed to a guzma ala tanai, and it's an umdir and mukhaf that he thought the kiyam atanai will never take place, because he really planned to work hard. So then we pask him, that is a machlokes hatanoim, Rabbi Yudim, Rabbi Yosef, we pask him asmach dolokan. That's a mission in the end of Baba Basra, machlokes by the asmach dolokan, asmach dolokan. So the Imam Bab Mitzir relates that topic to this case. But if he writes, I will pay you 70% of whatever would have grown in a good year. So then the Mishnah says you do pay. Why? She can't curse the fly. Because that's what they used to write into the shtoris. The Gemara says, aha, the Mishnah in Bav Metzia, she can't curse the fly, follows the opinion of Rameir. Rameir, how you dorish loshen hedyot. Since people write that into the shtar, even though the rabbis didn't introduce this practice, It wasn't encouraged by the Rabbanim. Since the Balabatim write it on their own, so that's a Shaila Rameir and the Rabbanim, and the Mishnah, it's not Mishnah Rameir, the Mishnah goes like Rameir Shita. Rameir Darish Lashon Hedyot. So Tesis and all the Rishonim ask, how could there be a Machlek Sameir and the Rabbanim? Whatever you write in the Shtar, whatever you make an agreement, is binding. If he writes in the Shtar, and there's no Guzma, so there's no Asmachta. So what does it have to do? How can it be a machlek zameir derabban? Whatever you agree to is binding. The Tosis explains, and all the Rishonim say the same. No, means she can't kosvim bishtaris. The common practice was that they would write this in the shtar. Whoever wrote it in the shtar is beli machlekes. For sure, he's chayv to pay. We're talking about a case the fellow did not write it in the shtar. So since normally that's the practice that you write it, even the one who didn't write it is considered kilo nichtav dami. What kind of a din is that? That's a din of yad. Yad, but usually, if you don't look into the Gemara, so people think bal peh, oh yad, that's a din in the Dorim Rishvuas. That a person takes them that there are Rishvu in the Torah, says nefesh ki shishova levate bisvasayim. You have to pronounce it with your lips. So chisha b'libay, goma b'libay, is not binding, tzarech lahotzi bisvasa. Because money doesn't pronounce the neder or the shvu with his lips, it's not binding, he has to say it. So what if he said it, but he didn't say the whole thing? But it's a yad. What he said is like a handle of a frying pan, a handle of a pot. The Ran in the first Mishnah in the Dorm explains, just like a handle is a thing that enables you to hold on to the pot. So a yad to a neder means he said a half a sentence. So in the half a sentence, we understand what he's driving at. He didn't really finish the whole sentence. So if it's absolutely clear, 100% clear what he's driving at, that's not called a yad. Even though he didn't really say it grammatically, he didn't formulate the sentence grammatically, but if it's 100% clear, then the Gemara Kiddushin, the first parak, seems to indicate that that's not called the Yad, that's called Lashon Gomer. But he said a Miktas Lashon, and it's 90% clear that he's driving at this. There is a 10% chance that that's not what he meant. So that's a question, is that called Bibur? Is that called Levati B'Sosai? So the Gemara learns that from Xeris HaKosov that there is a din of Yadis Nadorah. There's a safer Yadis Nadorah. The Sefer Masech is done, it's called the Yadis Nadorim. So that's because the Gemara talks about an institution of Yesh Yad Lo Neder. It's a Yad, he says an incomplete Lashon, and from the little that he said, it's 90% clear what he's driving at. What if he made an incomplete Lashon? It's 75% clear what he's driving at. It's not 100% clear, not even 90% clear. 75% clear. So that's also considered a yad. So that the Gemara calls is a yad she'ena machiyach. Sometimes you have a yad she'ena machiyach klal. A person says a half a sentence. Nobody knows what he's talking about. Or it's a 50-50 chance. Maybe he means this, maybe he means that. It's very unclear. It's very unclear what he's driving at. So Taisa says that's a third category. That's yad she'ena machiyach klal. That's called the machshava. That's not called the dibur. But there's a yad hamachiyach, and there's a yad sheina machiyach kolka. There's a yad hamachiyach, it's 90% clear what he's driving at. And then there's a yad sheina machiyach kolka, then it's only 75% clear. So the yad sheina machiyach, that's a machloikis abai v'rov in the Gemara in Kiddush. That's also a machloikis atanoim. The Gemara says that's a machloikis atanoim in the Mishnah in the end of Gittin, on Daf Peivav. It's interesting, you learn Maseches Gittin, so you start off, you remember Maseches Gittin starts off with the din that totally mid the Rabbanon. The din mid the Rabbanon that Shliach lo Eloch HaSaget and Chutz Loros has to be there at the time of Ksiv HaSaget, that it should be able to say B'fana Nechta B'fana Nechta. Starts off with the total din the Rabbanon. If you would learn Hilchus Gittin, how would you start? Guf Hishol Get, what is the text of the Get? Harei Megoresh is Menev Harei Meteres L'Cholon. That you don't get to until Daf Peivav. Daf Peivav in Gittin, and the Mesich conks out on Daf Tzadikal. You hold the mamsh. Nobody, yeshivas, no one ever get. No one lives so long to get the Daf Peivav. Who gets the Daf Peivav? 5 years are over already before you get the Daf Peivav. So that's the basic text that they get isn't recorded in the Mishnah until you get the Daf Peivav. So the Mishnah there on Peivav has a machlokes satana. Guf shall get. It should say Harei Megoresh is Memeni, but Harei Meteres L'Chol Adam. And then there's a machlokes hatanaim. Does it have to say v'deini heviliche minoy sefer truch migerish lukin? Is it necessary to write into the text of the get, this piece of paper should serve as the vehicle with which the divorce should take effect, or is it not necessary to write that? What are they fighting about? What's the machlokes are viewed in the rabbanon? Well, you have to write the din. Why should you have to write the din heviliche minoy? What are they fighting about? So the Gemara says, simple. It's a machlekes hatanaim of yad sheina machiyach. What does it have to do with yad sheina machiyach? So the Gemara says, it's 75% clear that he means to divorce her with the get. There's a far out chance, there's a 25% chance that he thinks that when he just makes an oral declaration, I'm divorcing you, she's already divorced, and the document he gives is a raya. There's a chance that he thinks that the piece of paper is only a raya, and the gerushin takes effect by the oral declaration. But 75% likelihood is that he means that this should be the piece of paper. It's a shtar kinyan, that in addition to being a shtar raya, it's also a shtar kinyan. He wants this should be the vehicle with which he should be divorcing his wife. So that's why the Gemara said that's called a yad she'ena machiyach. It's not 90% clear. It's only 75%, 80% clear. So that's why there's machlek zabiyud in the Rabbanon. How does that explain? That's why there's machlek zabiyud in the Rabbanon. What does that mean? So there's something missing in the Gemara. So the Vilna Gaon explains what's missing. And the Aderes Eliyahu and Chumash, which was written by the Talmidim of the Gro, Ruba de Ruba of the Svarim, all the Svarim of the Vilna Gaon, and most of the Svarim were written by Talmidim. I think the Biurim and Kabbalah, those were written by the Vilna Gaon, the Biurah Gro and Shulchan Aruch was written by the Gro. But everything on Tanakh and Mishlei and all the other things were written by the Talmidim. So they wrote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the whole idea that you have to write into the get, the din they have ilichiminoi, that this should serve as the vehicle of divorce, is based on the pasuk in Chumash. How does it say? The kasev alah sefer krisus, v'nasam biyad v'shilchem ibeis v'bhalch v'hoysel yishacher. Esnei ha'yishu acharon. Either the second husband dies, or the second husband gives her a get, and now she's free again to get married for the second time. It says, the first husband is not allowed to remarry her because she was married to someone else in between. If a man divorces his wife and he remarries her, but she didn't marry in between, that's fine. There are some people who are married. One of my classmates is married 3 times to the same wife. He got divorced and he got remarried, got divorced and he got remarried. Other people also like that. Love is better the second time around, the third time around. Okay. So he divorced his wife and he remarried her, second time, third time. But there's a din. If she was married to someone else, if she was mezana with someone else in between, also the din does not apply. Only if she got married in between. She was married in between, then there's a din in Isra of machzik rishos. So how does the parsha start off? If a man divorces his wife, because of lo sefer krisus v'nasim v'yoda, v'shilcha m'beis v'hof v'haisa v'yishachar. So how do you punctuate the pasuk? So you put commas. The kosmos of sefer krisus kama, the nasan biyada kama, the shilcha mibesa kama, the ocha v'hoisa leishaka, and she goes and she marries someone else. Pashim shat, it's kamas. So the Vilna Gaon says that's pshuta shel mikra. The Torah Shemal Peh has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The kosmos of sefer krisus colon. He should write to her because the word sefer krisus, the Gemara finds difficulty with the word sefer krisus. Why does it say sefer? The word sefer usually implies parchment. And there is no such din that a get has to be written on parchment. A get can be written on paper. In fact, the minhag used to be years ago, a get was written on parchment. Then there was a period in the Middle Ages when they weren't able, they couldn't afford, they simply couldn't afford to use parchment, so they started writing gittin on paper. So that after they chozru v'hashiru, when they got rich again, so they should have reverted back to the old practice, writing the get on parchment. So they made an institution of Kadesh Alola Hotzilaz of Gitna Rishonim. For a period of time, we were writing Gitna on paper. So now, before we wrote on parchment, now we write on parchment. In between, we wrote on paper. So people are going to be Motzilaz and say that all those Gitna were written on paper are no good. So in order that this shouldn't happen, the Gemara has such a concern, the beginning of Gitna, Kadesh Alola Hotzilaz of Gitna Rishonim. So they instituted a takona or mikana lahaba, all the gitna written on paper, that's all. Nobody writes a get on parchment anymore. You write on thicker paper, you don't write on cheap paper like this. You write on heavier paper. Feels a little bit like parchment, but it isn't. It's basically just thick paper. That's a shaila in the Gemara, in the beginning of gitna, where it says, Kadesh shalom lahotzi lazar, gitna rishanim. So you shouldn't introduce any chumris. So there's a big machlekes in achreinim, that Pesach Shuv and Yeridei quotes it. Is that only in Inyone Yuchsin? We don't think that it's smart to introduce Chumris because it's going to be Moti Laz on someone's status. Let's say you're going to introduce a new Chumr in Hilchas Geirus that they never observed before. We're all going to do Geirus like this. And what's going to be with all the Geirum who in this Gairu for centuries? We're going to say that their Geirus was no good and their descendants are not Jewish. So you can't do that. So we don't introduce any newfangled Chumris. So, by inyone issues, by inyone geiris, there's such a consideration. Kadesh Allah ha'otzi laz, Allah doris harishainim, not to be motzi laz on someone's status of yuchsin. What if it has nothing to do with yuchsin? Rabbi Kevega has a discussion. There was a community where they only made special tachrichim for men. And women, they buried in a dress, a plain dress. And it's not right, because the takonis Rabbi Gamliel was that you're supposed to bury everybody in very cheap, inexpensive tachrichim, women also. So the Shaila was, after 100 years they realized that they're doing wrong, so should we observe the din dira takonas Rabbi Gamliel now, that we should have the women buried in Tachrichim, or should we say, no, Kadesh Shalom Lahalti Laz, Aldoros HaRishonim, that for so many generations, for so many years, they were burying women without the special Tachrichim. So what do you mean Kadesh Shalom Lahalti Laz? They were doing wrong. We should be Mahalti Laz. And what is someone going to say? That there's nothing happened. It doesn't leave a roshim b'dairus. There's no psul b'dairus. So this is a pilpul in achreinim. Do we say all over shalom lahotzi laz al dairus harishayim? See, it's a big difference. There they were doing raw. They were doing incorrectly. So you should say, you should straighten it out. I would have understood if you want to introduce a new chumrah that doesn't affect anybody. That's a shahada. It doesn't make sense to introduce a new chumrah. But over here, not introducing a new chumrah. We're just observing the din that's on the books that for so many years. You know, the Chavetz Chaim came up with this bug. You know, you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. For centuries, we've been talking Lashon Hara. Shalom Lahotzi Laz Al Doris HaRishonim. You have to continue to talk Lashon Hara. He said, no, you were doing Shaloi Kedin. You got a shade bug. Everybody has to stop talking Lashon Hara. What are you going to say? Oh, Shalom Lahotzi Laz. So whenever the Jewish people was doing wrong, they have to continue to do wrong. people were wearing shatnas for years, and some guy in Williamsburg started a shatnas lab. And he started checking, he showed all the people, a lot of people wearing shatnas. So you're not allowed to introduce checking for shatnas. You got to keep on wearing shatnas. That's ridiculous. So that's very strange. Rabbi Kibbeh has this tshuva about this community where they weren't observing the takonas Rabbi Gamliel, that everyone should be buried in sheep tachrichim. What do you mean, shelo lahotzi las? If they're doing wrong. So tell her, digizach. So that's just as a side point, that's a machlokes achronim. What if for generations they were doing right, but we want to make even better? We want to make a new chumra, a new hida, glat kosher, whatever. So glat kosher, that's a shayla. But we always paskin that you don't need glat kosher. Is it proper to introduce a new chumra? We're gonna be more religious than our parents, more religious than our grandparents. It's not that our grandparents couldn't afford it and we can't afford it. And if they would have been able to afford it, they would have done it also. No, they could have afforded, they just never did it. So that would be a shayla of shalom lahotziyah azadar sarashanim, where it doesn't leave any roshim. It leaves a roshim just that we're more religious than them, they were not so midakne. But it's not going to passel anyone's personal status, no shayla of mamzeris or halolos or anything like that. So that's a machlokes achronim, how far do you go with this shalom lahotziyah? And now it's going to all go down the drain? Or is it even if he made an agreement to pay the balabas? I don't know. That's a good shot. So again, so how do we get involved over here? So we're saying there's a din of yad. Yeah. So the Vilna Gaon says that pshat in the pasuk is like this. The kasvah la sefer krisis. So the din does not require that a get should be written on parchment. So the word sefer usually means parchment. So. But over here we know it's not true. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't write Gittin on parchment. It's not necessary to. So what's Pshat Sefer? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. Rabbi Yosef Aglili says it has to be dumi of the Sefer. We don't pass like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So the Gemara says, what the Chachamim understand from the phrase Sefer? It doesn't mean parchment. So the Chachamim understand this, Hahu the Sfiras Dvarim Hu Dios, that a get has to have a text. Because of law, Sefer Krisus, he should write into the get a text of a nusach of divorcing. So the Rishonim are bothered with the question, of course you have to have a nusach. Well, you're not going to write anything. You're going to give a blank piece of paper. It says, because of law. So of course you're going to write. Because of law, you're going to write. Harei megureshes mimeni. So what do you need the word sefer? The sphere is dvarim hudiyosa. Mar says in Gittin, the word sefer doesn't mean that it should be similar to parchment. It doesn't have to be similar to parchment. Has to be with a Sfiras Dvarim. Sfiras Dvarim, every shtar needs a Sfiras Dvarim. So Bechrech, you have to say, Sfiras Dvarim means Sfiras Dvarim Yisairim. You have to have extra the shyness in a get over and above what you would have dreamt of. The basic Nusach of the get is Areh Mugureshes Mimani. Finished? So in addition to Areh Mugureshes Mimani, I'm divorcing you, goodbye and good luck. You're on your own. In addition to that, he has to write more. So what more? What do you have to write? So the Vilna Gaon explains that the Torah Shebaal Peh gives an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The cost of law sefer krisus colon. He should write extra lashanas, namely v'nasam biyada. He should write in the get that he's giving it a get. V'nasam biyada. V'holcha v'hoysa liyishacher. He should write down in the get that you now have the right to go and remarry. And v'holcha v'hoysa means she picks herself up and she goes. Has the connotation of that she decides on her own whom she wants to marry. So that's exactly what it says in the get. It says, the dein di hebi lichem inoy sefer truch mi gerish rukim. It says in the get that this is the document with which I am divorcing you. And then it says, limahach, she should go, lihis nasva, to remarry, l'chol gvar di se tzvayim, anyone whom you choose. That's mamish, a literal translation of v'holcha v'hoysa li'ishacha. V'holcha is limahach. Limahach means lalechas. L'chol gvar di se tzvayim, any man whom you choose to marry. That's a translation of v'holcha v'hoysa midaita mashma. Rashi writes v'holcha v'hoysa. Rashi on the Gemara writes v'holcha v'hoysa midaita mashma. And b'dein di have yilichim inoy is a translation of v'nosam biyodo. I am. He has to write in the get, I am giving you this get, and this get should be the document with which I am divorcing you. And a normal shtar, let's say I sell you a house, and I write, I own the building 24 Bennett, Washington Heights. I give you ownership of 24 Bennett. I have to write, and this piece of paper should serve as the document with which the house belongs to you. And I have to add on, and now that the house belongs to you, you have a right to rent it out to any tenant whom you choose. What do you have to write that for? It's not necessary. Other shtaris you don't have to write. Shtar mechiras chametz, you have to write, and now that the chametz belongs to you, Mr. Jones, you have the right to drink all the schnapps, and you have a right to eat all the rolls, anything you want. You don't have to write that. I sold him the chametz. He'll figure out on his own what he's going to do with the chametz. And I have to write that this piece of paper should serve as the shtar mechiras chametz. It's not necessary. It's only a din to get isha. Because the Torah Shema Peh understands from the word sefer, because of Allah's sefer krisus, the nasan biyada v'shilchem ebeisa v'hocha v'hoysa l'shacher. So the Torah Shema Peh interprets sefer krisus colon. These are the sefiras dvarim. The next phrases, till the end of the pasuk, are the sefiras dvarim yiserim that are needed in the get isha. So in principle, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan both agree that every get should really say v'den nehevi l'chem inoy sefer truchem. In principle, it should say that. But the machlokes hatanaim is, if you didn't write it, if you forgot and didn't write the din dehevi lichi minoy, so since it's so obvious, of course this is the document. What then? He's divorcing her orally, bal peh, and the document is only l'raya b'alma. Some people may make such a mistake, but most people understand that that's not what's going on. So the Gemara says, well, that's the machlokes hatanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. What if you didn't put in the din? So the Gemara says 80% of the people understand that when you write Harezeh Gita Vareh Megoresh is the many period, 80% of the people understand that that's what it means, that this is the get, and with this get she's becoming divorced, and now she has a right to remarry anybody she wants. But because there's a 20% possibility that maybe he doesn't mean that this should be the get, so that's a machlokes hatanaim. If it's loy nichtav, do you treat it kilo nichtav dami? Or not, because it's not a Yad HaMochiach, it's not 90% clear. If it would have been 95% clear, that's a Yad HaMochiach, so all the Tanoim subscribe to that. But it's a Yad Shein HaMochiach Kol Kach. It's not a Yad Shein HaMochiach Lalapal. It's not a 50-50 Safi, what he's driving at, that no one holds that that's a Yad. But it's a Chveis, 80-85% clear, but it's not 95% clear. So that's a Machlekes Rebut in the Rabbanon, where the Yad Shein HaMochiach is Dinu Ki Yad or not. What does it have to do with Yad? Yad is Nechadin in the Dorim. Yad was Psukim in the Dorim. So how does the Gemara all of a sudden shift over from the Dorim to get the Isha? So the answer is, Yad is a din in Lashon, whenever there's a text. Either you need a text when you take a neder or a shvua. There's no specific text, but you have to say, I accept upon myself a neder that all potato chips in the world are rosa b'achila. I accept a neder that all cookies are rosa b'achila. You have to say a neder or shvua. There's no specific nusach. But you have to say some nusach or another. So if a person has a nusach that's incomplete, but it's 90% clear, or it's 80% clear what he's driving at, so 90% clear is the Yad HaMachiach, and 80% clear is the Yad Shein HaMachiach, and the 80% clear is a machlekes amaroim, and it's a machlekes hatanoim. So it's not only when you need a nusach bal peh by neder or shvua, it's the same issue when you have a nusach biksav, you have a get. Full text of the get should really say v'dein dehevi lichem inoy sefer truchen egerish shvukin limahak l'isnasa v'chol v'adi say tzvayim, the whole pismin. So what if you left the whole thing out? But it's so obvious and it's so clear. The Gemara says, how obvious is it? The Gemara says, it's not 95% obvious. It's 80-85% obvious. That's a machlokes Reb Yehuda and the Rabbanan. But Yad Shein Mechir. So the topic of Yad is not restricted only to the Nedarim Mishvuas. It applies to the Nedarim Mishvuas because you need a Lashon over there, you need a Lashon Baal Peh. By Get, you need a Lashon Biksah. So the Gemara has such a din in the first parak in Avodah Zarah. If someone gives someone else a shtar, and he writes the date when the Havod took place, and instead of writing Shnas Chamesha Salaf and Mishvameyas Vishishim Vesheva, the Bir Zaylam, he writes Shnas Shvameyas Vishishim Vesheva, the Bir Zaylam. He forgot to write the Chamesha Salaf. Or he forgot to write Shvameyas. He writes Chamesha Salafim Vishishim Vesheva, the Bir Zaylam. He forgot to write the Shvameyas. So the Gemara says the shtar is good anyway. The document is good anyway. Because it's obvious that this shtar wasn't written 5,000 years ago. It wasn't written 700 years ago. Whatever is missing, and it's obvious what the missing word is, so it's considered kila nichtav dami. That's a din of yad. It's considered kila nichtav dami. Let's say they wrote a ksuba. Let's say a sefer writes a ksuba. All ksubas are all printed. Let's say some people like to have handwritten. Fancy handwritten ksuba. So the sefer wrote a ksuba and he forgot by mistake. He left out a word at the end. So what's the din? Is it good or is it not? It depends what word did he leave out. So if he left out a word, yisichi, lichi, whatever, one of those words that's irrelevant, that's really not correct grammatically. It's not supposed to be there in the first place. So if he left out a word that's irrelevant, it's obvious what he's driving at. And he left out the word v'konina. So there never was a Kabbalah's kinyan. So that's crucial. Maybe there was no Kabbalah's kinyan. But if everything else is there, he left out a word that's irrelevant. So the din is, there's only one way to read it. There's only one way to read it. That's a yad. That if he left out a word that it's 100% clear what he's driving at, that's not even a yad. That's better than a yad. The Gemara said that's considered loshen ma'alya. That's not even called a yad. But if he even left out a word, it's slightly unclear, but it's 95% obvious what he's driving at. So that's called a yad. Whatever is missing, it's self-understood. That's a din, someone mentioned the other time, that's a din of Achrayis to a Sefer. Gemara has in the first Perek in Bav Metzia, another place, in Machlokes HaTanoim. I lend you $1,000, and you give me a shtar havoah that says, I owe you $1,000. But it doesn't say, b'chol nechosai mishibadim lefrayecha. If that, it doesn't say explicitly that there's a shiv nechosai. It doesn't say explicitly that there's no shiv nechosai. It doesn't say one way or the other. So what should we assume? So there's a machlokes hatanaim, and we pass on la locha. Achrayis is toh sefer. It means if the shtar halvoah that the loiva gave to the malva doesn't say one way or the other, whether yes, there is shiva nechasim. Achrayis means shiva nechasim on the karkoa. So there's no shiva nechasim. So if it doesn't one way or the other, so we assume lo shadi inish zuzi dichti, a person doesn't lend money in a capricious fashion. Normal people, when they lend money, they want to make sure they're going to get back the money. It depends what he lends, $5 or $20,000. So if he lends him $20,000 and he gives him a shtar, so normal people want to have not only a shibud aguf, they want to have a shibud nechasim as well. So since it's self-understood that normal people want a shibud nechasim, if it doesn't say one way or the other, we assume that the lack of achrayis in the shtar is simply a scribal error. It's achrayis is a toy sefer. The sefer simply made a mistake and he left it out. And it's self-understood. So that's what Taisus interprets on this Gemara in Bava Metzia and the end of Bava Metzia. That the Mishnah says that if I rent you a karka, and the agreement is I'm going to give you a chveis 50% of the crops. And then I worked and it was a bad year, and there was a storm and a blizzard, whatever, snowed, and everything was destroyed. And you get nothing, nothing is nothing. So then he gets 50% of nothing, and I get 50% of nothing. So no one gets anything. But if it's my fault, it's the fault of the tenant. He left it fallow. He could have worked. So that's a moivav. So if they would have written a moivav leyavar hashalom meitzvah, if he would have written that, many people used to write it on their own. It wasn't a takonas chacham. It's a loshen hedyot. The balabatim decided to write on their own. If I leave the field fallow and nothing will grow, I will pay you 50% of what it would have normally were grown in a normal, in a good year. Hashalom and Meitvah, there's no goods in it. So if I would have written that L'choladeis, I would have to pay. Shai, the machlokes hatanaim, Taisa says, is I didn't write that in the document. So should I assume that it's self-understood? So we paskin, yes, Rab Meir Dorish, Loshen Hedyut. Since the common practice is that everybody writes that in the shtar. So even if there's one shtar, one agreement where the fellow didn't write it in, but he didn't write the Beferish Faker, as long as he didn't write, and if I leave it foul, I won't be held responsible. Didn't say yes, he didn't say no. So since the common practice is that they always write it, so even if it wasn't written, it's considered kidah nichtav dam. So that's what the Yerushalmi says on that Mishnah, that Hamavatl Kisa Shalchaveiro is normally potter, except for that case, Chutzman Akarka. What is Chutzman Akarka? So the Mefarshim say, except for that Mishnah. The Yerushalmi writes it on that Mishnah. If I rented a field from you, and the understanding was I'm going to work the field, and I was negligent, and it's my fault I didn't work the field, that's why you get nothing. So then the din is I have to pay you 50% of what would have normally grown. So that's really, I'm paying you for the Menias HaRevach. So the answer is, that's a His Chayvus Midas. If I wrote in the shtar, I'm obligating myself, so of course I have to pay. Even if I didn't write it, but since the Minig Olam is that you usually write that, so we say, Rav Meir, Dorish Lashon Hedyot, and Paskin, the Mishnah goes like Rav Meir, even if this sharecropper didn't write this clause in the shtar, it's self-understood that he was mischayv himself. But without a His Chayvus Midas, you won't have to pay for Menias HaRevach. So that's a kasha that the Tzeis HaChoshen asks. So why does the Gemara say Hat could be in Druna? If I lock somebody up in a room and he can't go to work today, and he's going to lose, they're going to dock him his whole salary. So I have to pay for the loss of salary. Isn't that like Mevatel Kisa Shachaver? Why is this different from Mevatel Kisa Shachaver? We're going to say that Babli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. Possible. Once in a while, there is a disagreement. So then, Muki Yosef before and Davchav has a funny lashon. He writes, "Hamavatol kisa shachaver v'hatki ben runya is not chayav." He puts them together. That's not correct. Hamavatol kisa shachaver, the Yerushalmi says, is not chayav. Hatki ben runya, the Babli says, is chayav. So how do you put them together? Unless the Muki Yosef holds that it's a machlokes, the Babli and the Yerushalmi, he's paskin like the Yerushalmi, that they're both, they're equal, and they're both potter. It's highly unlikely that it's machloek to the Babli and Yerushalmi. So the Tzeis HaChoshen poses the question. So he explains, Mevatel Kisa Shel Chaveiro, I didn't touch the person's body. He left his wallet over here, so I locked up the drawer, he can't get his wallet. He has his store where he does all the business, I put a lock on the store, and he can't open up the store. So, Menias HaRevach, that's caused by some activity that I did. Shaloi begufa shelha nechbal, that's a question of mazik. So mazik is only chayv to pay for a hezek that he suffers. If it's menias harevach, that's called rabba menazik. But if I tamper the person's body, hatke bin runya, I take you and I push you into a room and I lock the room, so then hatke bin runya, that's called a maisa chavolo. That's not a topic of a maisa hezek, that's a maisa chavolo. So one opinion on the previous daf was that you only pay tsar when there's a chavola, that's only tsar b'makom nezik. But if there's no lasting scar on the person's body, and there's no nezik, then you don't have to pay tsar. Tsar is only b'makom nezik. Shalei b'makom nezik, you don't pay. So our Mishnah does not accept that opinion. There was a machlek is Rebbe and Ben Azai, and the last 10 lies on pay dalad and base. So we pass like our Mishnah, that there is tsar, afilu shalei b'makom nezik. What does it mean? Even if there's no lasting scar, that's also called a maisa chavola, and a chayva b'chaveira pays tsar. So the same over here, even though there's no lasting scar on anything, I lock the person up in a room, and he can't go to work, locking him up in a room is called a maisa chavola. Even though I didn't harm him, to lock him up in a room is called a maisa chavola. So by a chayva b'chaveira, there's a parsha of shevis. If it's not chayva b'chaveira, then you don't pay shevis. Only chayv b'chaver. So that's what the Gemara says. Hatki bin Yunya has to pay. Ubatle has to pay shevis. That's called a maisa chavole, even though there's no lasting scar, even though there's no nezek to speak of. Then we had the Rishonim added on. How did I do this trick of hatki bin Yunya? Means I grabbed the person and I pushed him into the room. Then I locked the door. Oh, he was in the room, and then he was in the room, and I locked the door. But the Rush and the other Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch, they refer you to the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a pasuk to teach me the following din. Let's say the butcher sometimes goes into the freezer room. He goes for 2 minutes and then he comes out. So what if he would stay in the freezer all day? He would freeze to death. He would die. But he doesn't go to stay there all day long. He goes for 2 minutes, he comes out. So what's it then? The butcher went into the freezer and I locked the door and he can't get out. He's banging on the door screaming, "Let me out of here! Let me out of here! I'm going to die!" And I walk away. I go to sleep. And he dies. So that's called mitzamtzeh. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that mitzamtzeh is chayv misa by retzeach. Well, let's say a person is a swimmer. So he can hold his breath, he swims under the water for a couple of seconds, then he comes up, then he goes swims under the water, then he comes up. So while he's under the water, I put my hand over there, I put something on top that he shouldn't be able to come up. I didn't push him into the water. If I take my time up and I hold his head in the water and I drown him, I did the whole thing. I didn't drown him. He was under the water and I prevented him. I took away his ability to get out of the water. So the Gemara says that's a chiddush, that mitzamtzeh is chayav. Or the same, let's say, someone is in the Sahara Desert and the sun is beating down, and if you sit there for half an hour, you're going to be roasted to death. You're going to die. So people can go for 2 minutes and they have to go into the house and they have to wear special clothing. But let's say someone is there in the desert and he's only going to be out in the desert for 2 minutes and he's going to go into the building or something. So he's bechama, and I tie him up in the sun. Kofso bechama. I tie him up in the sun. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk that mitzamtzeh is chayav. So the Gemara there in Sanhedrin has a machlokes amarayim. This pasuk that teaches me that mitzamtzeh is considered as if he did the ma'aser ritzicheh, even though he just maintained the present condition. He didn't put him into that condition. The person put himself into a situation. The butcher went into the freezer. The man went into the desert where the sun is beating down. Or the swimmer was under the water. He did it on his own. I just prevented him from coming out. So the pasuk teaches me mitzamtzeh is chayav. So should I learn from that pasuk that it's a kal vachomer that mitzamtzeh is chayav by nezikin? Let's say his behemah. The behemah is in the desert, and the bala behemah claims to take the behemah out of the desert, and then I tie up the behemah, and he can't get it out. So it's mitzamtzeh chayav in nezikin or not? So should it be? One man says that it's a kal vachomer. That's what I would have said, but I wasn't. No one asked me. I'm not entitled to an opinion. That opinion was outvoted. The opinion that's accepted is that mitzamtzeh is only chayv nisah by ritzicha. Mitzamtzeh by nezikin is not chayv. So that's what the Rishonim say over here. Hatke bin Runye is considered a ma'aser chavalah, and therefore you pay sheves. Normally, sheves should really be minyas hareva. So you should never have to pay sheves. But sheves, when you do a chavola, that's a gzeres hakosva. Chavola b'chaveiroi is mishalom chamisha dvarim, even though the sheves is a menias harev. So it's only called a chavola if he did a maise b'kum yaseh. I pushed him into the room, then I locked the room. But if he on his own, he was in the room. And kosva is in the room, doesn't go to the office, he's not going to make any money. I locked the door and he can't get out of the room, but I didn't push him in. So the Rishonim say that's called mitzamtzeh. So mitzamtzeh is not chayiv by nezikin. Mitzamtzeh is only chayiv nisa by ritzicha. Is not chayiv tashlum imamim by nezikin. So this Gemara is a big chiddush. If I pushed him into the room, that's hakid b'rum. That's chavala. But if he was in the room on his own, I just locked the door from the entrance from getting out. That's what the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch say, that that's called mitzamtzeh, and mitzamtzeh by nezikin is potter. Then he more comments on the dinim of chayvul b'chavera. How much did he pay b'chayvul b'chavera? Shomer osa kevin aninka b'ashur, kama hoya shovel limka previously, and kama hu shovel limka now. The evin aninka b'ashur, that's the first mishnah, pay gimel on the base. So we had, that was a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in the Rosh. Rashi says kevidibri and Tosfos in the Rosh, all kevit nine. Okay. So the Gemara says, if I harm a person, I do a chavola, and I cause him to lose his leg. The shaman also before, after, and he's worth, the leg is worth so much. If I blind him, if I cause him to lose an arm, I pay whatever. What if charosha? I cause them to become deaf and mute. So the Gemara says, Nosalo de me kulo. He's absolutely worthless. A cherish is absolutely worthless. Not shaykh that no one is interested in buying a cherish. He doesn't sell for anything. So Taisa says, it can't be. Because you have the opening Mishnah in Erechin speaks about a cherish out of the cotton. Cherish means ein shemeh ve'en medaber, and the Mishnah says there nidorim v'ne erachim. There are two din. There's a din of Erechin and there's a din of damim. Erechin, if I say Erecho alai, Erech pleni alai, I say Erkecho alai, I say Erech atzmi alai, Ari alai Erech atzmi. So you have to pay a fixed amount of money as it appears in Chumash and in Chumash Vayikra, depending whether the person is a male or a female, and depending on the age. What if I say, instead of saying Erko alai, Erki alai, Erech pleni alai, I say Domecho alai, Dinei pleni alai, Domai alai. So then you pay Kamahu Shavu Limkar Ashuk. Doesn't matter male or female, doesn't matter age, it all matters. How much is he worth on the slave market? Kevin on Nimkav Ashuk. And there would also, Radavala points out, Nishum there in Erechin, it would appear that it's again a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos by Dom of Alai, with the Shamanosa Kevin Ivri, or Shamanosa Kevin Klein. Okay. So the Mishnah says that Echerisha to be caught on Lapine Deya. So therefore, if they take a neder, it's not binding. But if someone else takes a neder to pay their Erech or their value, to make plenty Alai. Erech plenty alai, and acherish out to the cotton, you do pay. So Tosfos is bothered with the question: if acherish is worthless, the Gemara says charoshem nosalo demekulo. Sheina shameh ve'ena medaber is considered such a lapadas that he can't function at all. Can't function also. He's worthless. That's what Agmar says. Nosalo demekulo, worthless. Try to sell him as an eved, you get zero. So how does the Mishnah say that he's nidar v'ne'erach, yishleim ne'erach? I understand. The cherish and shemeh v'ena medab is either male or a female, and he has a certain age. So the Chumash says, how much you give, even if he's absolutely worthless. But the Mishnah says, not only is he nerach, he's nidar as well. If someone would say doma v'alai, he would pay kamuhu shavadim kvashu. So you see that a cherish has a value. So how do you say over here that a cherish has no value? The Tosfos says, abriska teres adot zvei alei cherish. Two kinds of cherish. A cherish can function, cherish can function. B'dei shamayim, b'dei olam, whatever it is, they're different kinds. So that's what the Rashash writes in the famous Rashash in Gitnan, Dafayin Amin Aleph. He says that now that they have a school in Berlin where they're able to educate the deaf mute and they're able to get him to function, he can write, they can teach him a song, he can communicate with other people, he can type on a typewriter and so on. So the Rashash raises the question that a cherish shouldn't be considered a labadas today. The only reason why a cherish is considered a labadas is not because of his physical handicap. Physical handicap doesn't make a person a labadas. Because he's ein shemev, ein medabas of his mother and mother, had no way to communicate with him, so they couldn't educate him. So he can't educate, can't communicate, so it's going to be all by himself, it's going to be a labadas, it's going to be retarded. That's how the Pesukim explain. The Sheite, Chere Sheite and Cotton. Cotton means cotton to be brilliant. The only one was brilliant as a child. He was brilliant as an adult as well. Ketanim are very brilliant. A lot of times they have a much higher IQ than other adults. You can have, but before Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, Alpidin, they're considered La Bar Das. A Sheite can also be brilliant, absolute genius. Sheite can be genius, but he's deranged. He thinks he's a Napoleon or something. She thinks that she's Cleopatra or something like that. It's the Chamashug in it. So, a shaita means absolutely deranged, but it can function, everything else he functions very well, except for this Mishigas. So that's a shaita. What is a cherish? So the Arsameach writes, the best true of a cherish appears in the Zichron Yosef. So the Zichron Yosef is a rabbi in Furt in Germany. So he writes, of Yosef Steinhardt. So he writes in his Kivei Grosan Yeridei, refers it to that Zichron Yosef, the tshuva. So the Zichron Yosef writes that the Poskim hold that Cherish is Lab Davka Enish Hamev Enim Edabe. He says Cherish means one who is retarded. And Enish Hamev Enim Edabe, Bismana Gemara would normally turn out to be retarded. But you can have a person who is able to speak and who is able to hear and everything, and he's still retarded. Retarded is retarded. So that's called a Cherish. He has the das of a 5-year-old child. That's a labar das. That's a cut. He has to have an average stomach. He has to have the das of a 12-year-old girl or a 13-year-old boy. He has to be able to have that kind of das. Das doesn't mean how much of Shakespeare does he know. Let's say a 12-year-old girl probably heard of Shakespeare. He doesn't have to have heard of Shakespeare. You just in Shulchan Aruch they give you klolim. You have to understand. In the winter time you have to wear warm clothing. In the summertime you wear light clothing. And you shouldn't ask. You see, by us we have apples all year long. Summer, winter we have. But watermelons you only have in the summertime. Okay. I don't know if you'll remember that. So in Shulchan Aruch they say you should ask him in the winter time, would you like some watermelon? Will he understand that it's winter time? By us they give watermelons in the winter also. We have everything all year long. It means you have to see whether he's with it, whether he understands what's going on. Does he have the average intelligence of a 12-year-old girl, a 13-year-old boy, but again, the basic elementary thing? So if he has when he has that kind of intelligence, so just because he's a little retarded, so that doesn't make him into a labradas. But one who's severely retarded doesn't have the seichel of a 12-year-old, so that's considered a cherish. Minatara, they're all the same. Cherish are the cotton, they're not the mitzias, they're not the same, but they have the same din. Midirabbana, there are differences. Let's say kiddushi cherish. Midirabbana, they made a takana, there is kiddushi cherish. People can be retarded and they can be happily married to either other charoshim, other retarded people, or even to healthy people. The Mishnah is in the end of Yivam. It's talking about a healthy person marries a cherish or a charoshis. They want a companion, sure. So they're happy with being married to a cherish or a charoshis. A shaita, they never made a takana de rabbanon that there should be kiddushin because eid onim dorim nochash b'kfifa achas. The Gemara says they just know the marriage is not going to last, so why should they be misakin kiddushin mid rabbanon if it's a bracha levatala anyway? It's not going to work anyway, so why waste your time? So the Zichron Yosef points out that the cherish ein shemev ein medaber is laptop ken shemev ein medaber. Sometimes you have a person who is shemev and he is medaber, and the Beis Shmuel and Ibn Ezra says that he's still called a cherish by because he's retarded. So the same is true regarding the ein shemev ein medaber also. The only reason why he has a din of a cherish is because he's retarded. If his mom is there, they're able to educate him. So that's what the Rashash says. He would assume that he's not a cherish. There's such a k'shuvah and k'sab sefer also. They talk about it's very shver. Those who want to disagree, it's very difficult. How can you argue with that? What the Tanoim invented a new thing? Whoever is Enish Shemev Enim Medaber, bingo, it's called Acherish. It's not true. Enish Shemev Enim Medaber will usually be retarded. The basic thing is Acherish means retarded. Enish Shemev Enim Medaber will sometimes be retarded and sometimes not be retarded. So that's what Tosis answers. Yesh Lachavi Ben Acherish Lacherish. Sometimes Acherish is worthless. And sometimes not worthless. You can even have a retarded person. He's not worthless. There are retarded people who have light jobs. They deliver packages or whatever. You tell them, carry this here, push this here. They can do certain work. And if you would be interested in selling them, Kevin, on them, it would be worth a little bit. Taisa doesn't say as far as we're talking. Taisa lived before they had the school in Berlin to educate the deaf mutes. So Taisa just says sometimes the cherish is absolutely worthless. No one would be prepared to pay a penny for him. He doesn't function well at all. And sometimes there's a cherish who can function. So we will be prepared to pay a little peanut. We'll pay something for the cherish. But you wouldn't say cherosh and not allowed to make kulo, because he is worth a little bit. So that's all Taisa says. I just added on that sometimes there's a cherish who's a bardas mamish. Just because ain't a shemev, ain't a medaber, doesn't mean that he's automatically a la bardas. Manazet doesn't follow necessarily. What's the din? Rabbah has a statement over here. Rabbah has on 6 lines from the top of Peivam and Al. Cheresh esaviv nerag. One who causes a parent to become deaf. This doesn't mean deaf mute. This just means deaf. Cheresh esaviv hamakov v'ima is chayv misa. If it's b'mezik, if it's b'shogeg, not chayv misa. Cheresh esaviv. Is that called makov v'ima or not? So what's the definition of makah? Makov v'ima, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the sugya, the whole sugya is in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says it means that he caused the parent to bleed. He caused a little blood to spill. Why is that called makov v'ima? The pshuta shel mikra makov v'ima goes to killing a parent. By killing a parent, yechad misa, you kill anybody, yechad misa. What's the chiddush? The Gemara understands makov v'ima means, even though he didn't kill him, but he caused bleeding. So what is that idea if he caused bleeding? So the Gemara has in a different place. Indeed, Tosis picks up that expression, Mali Kotla Kula, Mali Kotla Palga. The Gemara had it in the Hachoybel, in Meruba, but there meant a different thing. Mali Kotla Kula, Mali Kotla Palga. So here also, Hamake of the Yima means he made a chabura. Chabura means causing a little blood to spill. We have a klal in the Chumash, ki adam hu anefesh. Means that the circulation of the blood is what keeps a person alive. Same is true regarding an animal as well. What keeps a person or an animal alive is the blood circulation. That's why the halacha says that oisa chabura b'shabbos is considered a violation of a malacha. What malacha is it? One who does a chabura b'shabbos. So there are different opinions. So the Rambam says that it's a malacha of disha. If I cause a person to bleed, that's like squeezing out juice from a grape. Squeezing out grape juice is disha. So causing a person to bleed is disha. Causing an animal to bleed is disha. Rashi says when you harm a person, you make a black and blue mark, it's a malacha of tzoveya. And Tosfos disagrees and says, what are they talking about? The Yerushalmi says beferish. The Babli never explains what the malacha is. The Babli just says, oisa chabura, if you cause bleeding or you cause a black and blue mark, so that blood is dead. So that's also like bleeding, so it's a malacha. The Yerushalmi says, what malacha is it? Netilas neshama. What kind of tilas neshama? Tilas neshama means when the animal is dead. Here the animal is alive, I just made a black and blue mark. The answer is, malikot lakula, malikot lapalva. That's the famous Tosfos. And every other Masechta, the Tosfos says that pshat. Oisa chabura b'shabbos, one who causes bleeding on Shabbos, one who causes a black and blue mark, is malikot lakula, malikot lapalva. The Chazanish had a chiddush. We pask in the Shulchan Aruch la'aloch against the Rama. We spoke about it. Let's say the bris milah was done by an ochri. The parents got a non-Jewish doctor to perform the circumcision. So the bracha is not miyake. The fact that the goyish doctor didn't say the bracha is not miyake. Okay. But the goy did the bris milah. So we have the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin. So the Gemara says, minayin lemilah ba'akam shehi psula talmud loymar. The two amoraim loyim enough and two different students. The Nachri does a bris milah, it's not kosher even with the Yevon. If the Jew did the bris milah, it wasn't religious and it didn't say bracha. So the bracha is not miyake b'di'evit. We wouldn't recommend to do it over again. It's an issa to do our toughest dam bris unnecessarily. But if a nochri did the bris milah, so we pass on even b'di'evit, it's no good. And we don't follow. The Rambam says, Rafam, there's nothing you can do to improve it, to do it over. And we pass on Shulchan Aruch, you have to do our toughest dam bris. So toughest dam bris means you have to cut at a certain point. That's a question of which part of the aver. You have to cut till a little bit of blood comes out. So the Chazanish has this fantastic chiddush. He says, based on the Gemara, that if you make a black and blue mark, so that blood is dead. So that's also the same thing as causing bleeding. It's also malikot l'kula, malikot l'palda. So he says, when you want to do atavas d'amri, it's not necessary to cut so much till a tiny bit of a drop of blood comes out. If you just make a seret duck, a slight scratch, and that part of the skin, not on the hand, it means on the ava, in the right place, and that part of the skin is going to have a red scratch, it's going to have a... that means that it's nitzra hadam, that blood is killed. That blood is not going to be circulating anymore. So he says, yoytze atofes dam bris with that. You don't need an actual tipas dam for the purpose of atofes dam bris. You have to have a kotla miktsas, a kotla palga. No? So kotla palga is either a drop of blood comes out, a black and blue mark or a seretak, the red mark. If I take a knife and I just put it on my hand like this, that's not a seretak. But if I scratch slightly into the skin, it's going to be a seredak. That's the same as making a black and blue mark. That I'm causing some of the blood to be dead over there. That's the Chazanish's mechadish like that. So the Gemara has all these klolim by Makke Ovivim. Makke Ovivim is only Chayv Misa. If he does, Osa Bohem Chabura. If Loy Osa Bohem Chabura, then it's not called Makke Ovivim. So why is Achorish Ovivim Nera Golov? Why is he Chayv Mita Makke Ovivim? So the Gemara explains, if Shev Shalach HaRisha below Chabura, there must have been, the Gemara is saying medically. You should ask a doctor what it's all about. The Gemara claims that based on medicine that they knew, it must be that there is a tipas dam that was caused to be dead over here. Al pi pashtus, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about. Someone asked the Shaila, can a person be yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin if the left arm is paralyzed? Rav Moshe has a tshuva, yes, absolutely yes, because he remembers that his father had suffered a stroke. Moshe's father suffered a stroke before he died, and his left side was paralyzed, and he continued to put on tefillin on the paralyzed arm. So you see that that's the din. I had his father know, so Rav Moshe shows a Gemara. So he says, but he thinks, Rav Moshe said, that's only if the arm is paralyzed, means that the nervous system is not functioning. The nerves are not functioning. But let's say the arm is gangrenous, and there's no blood circulating. And if you'll cut over here, it won't bleed. So then he says, that arm is a dead arm. Alpidin, what's alive? When is the arm alive? When is the arm dead? The Moshe shows a Gemara Mcheres. The Gemara Mcheres says, when there's still blood circulating in that aver, then the aver is alive. And there's no blood circulating, then the aver is dead. Just because it's paralyzed doesn't mean it's dead. But if it's gangrenous, and there's no blood circulating, then it is considered dead. So the Pashtus is that should be the definition of death on the whole organism also. When do you determine that a person or an animal is dead? When the circulatory system collapsed, when it's not functioning anymore. Let's say if you chop off a finger, so the person is still alive. You chop off both arms and both legs and both ears, and you blind them, the person is still alive. You rip off half of his head, he's still alive. So which organs count to determine whether the person is alive? Has Ramach Evarim, it's 248 Evarim. So which Evarim count? The hands and the legs and the ears and the eyes, discounted. All the teeth, everything is discounted. So which Evarim count to determine whether he's alive? So the Mishnah said the concept of Eva Shana Shoma Kliyabo. In English, that's called a vital organ. Vital organ means without that organ is going to be dead. So the Mishnah happens according to the Rambam's Girsois. The Rambam always, whenever it says in Mishnah it's about an Eva Shana Shoma Kliyabo, so the Rambam always has the Girsa that there are three Evarim Shana Shoma Kliyabo. One is the lav, and one is the kidneys, and the third one is the head, the brain. We know today that there are more vital organs than that. So that's a question. Does it mean when these three vital organs are dead, even though the other vital organs are alive, we ignore the other vital organs? It's Alach L'Moshe M'Sinai. Only these three are the vital organs. Alpidin as Lavdavke. The Mishnah chaps on these. If the doctors will ascertain that more than three vital organs, there's more. So that's not so clear. Then it's also not so clear how many of the vital organs have to be dead. Means that the blood is no longer circulating to them. So then that aver is dead. How many of the vital organs has to be dead in order to declare that the whole organism is dead? So I would have said if one of them, if a building, in order to stand, has to stand on four pillars, and one of the pillars falls down, so the whole building is going to collapse. Here, a table. A table has to have four legs. So if it's missing one leg, so the table is going to tilt up, it's going to fall down. So I would have said that if there are eight vital organs, I don't know how many there are, if there are eight vital organs, I would have said if one of them is dead, so the organism is not alive. You have to have all of them to be alive. That's one possibility. Or you can say Ruba Kukula, if the rive of all the vital organs is dead, so then the organism is dead. Or you can say no, you need all the vital organs should be dead, then the animal or the person is dead. So this is not clear. How many of the vital organs have to be dead? Dead means no more blood circulating in an irreversible fashion. That's what Moshe shows from the Gemara. Let's say put a tourniquet on an arm, and there's no blood circulating over here, but you can easily take off the tourniquet. So then the Gemara says that arm is not dead. It's only if there's a cessation of the flow of blood in an irreversible fashion. Then the Gemara says that's the Igros Moshe. Then the Gemara in Chayre says that organ is considered dead. So that's based on these Gemaras. That's the question: how do you determine when the organism is dead? Yeah, the Mishnah has, yeah. The Mishnah has, if you chop the guy's head off, then for sure he's dead. Because the whole circulatory system collapsed. Yeah, everything collapsed now. The whole circulatory system collapsed. Yeah, but the Shaila, sometimes you can have deaths that the kidneys are dead and the other vital organs are alive. So he's going to die soon. That's the Shaila. Do we declare that he's already dead? Well, not yet. So it's not clear. How many of the vital, it depends on vital organs. And death of the vital organs means that there's no longer blood circulating in an irreversible fashion. The question is, how many of the vital organs? One, or roiv, or kulam? So that's not clear. Yeah, how do you determine how much he'd pay? He'd pay Nezik Tzarif for Shevis Bayim. How much do he pay for Nezik Tzarif Shevis? Each case is going to be different. So who decides how much it is? So Bezna has to make a Shuma. The Gemara in Sanhedrin learns out from a Pasuk that you need a Bezna Filu Ushvatatem Tzari Benish Ubein Ochiv Ubein Reyehu. So the Gemara says Benish Ubein Ochiv Ubein Reyehu. Why three expressions? So the Gemara says you even need a bezdin to make a shuma to determine a chalukas hashutim. A man dies and he leaves two children, and they're going to divide all the property 50-50. He leaves 10 children, they're going to divide it into 10 shares. So how do you determine this is worth how much and this is worth how much? I'm going to take this and he's going to take that and she's going to take that. How do you determine how much things are worth? So the Gemara says you need a bezdin for that. You need a bezdin of a businessman who are in this field. You don't need a bezdin of rabbis with long beards and ochar shemishpat. You need a bezdin of people. There should be three religious people who are familiar with the value of the second-hand svarim, or the second-hand tape recorders, okay? But you need a bezdin to make a shuma. See, you need a bezdin to make the shuma. The nezek, tzar, ripa, shevis, boshes, everything. You have to have a bezdin. The Mishnah made life easier for us. The Mishnah says that there are certain cases when a person does an act of boshes. Yeah, tzadikam and aleph. So the Mishnah has hatakeh lachaver nosim lasela, a fixed amount. So Taisa says, why did they make a fixed amount? Taisa sam peivav and aleph liba masik kilohem inechur. They made a fixed amount that the bezel shouldn't have to go crazy every time. I have to figure out how much the boshes is. It's bad enough. We have to figure out how much the nezik tzaripa and shevis is. So the Bosh is farting, they made a fixed amount, so we don't have to go crazy. One time, in fact, Rav Meir says on Peivav and Aleph that Boshes, they made a fixed amount for everybody. You don't see Akolafi Hamavaish Hamizbaish. There are some Mechubadim who are not so touchy. There are some built in Mechubadim who are very sensitive. And they'll deserve more Boshes than the Adam Nichbad in the society. Says, because it's too difficult to assess, Ramea says, yeah, you give everybody the same. But in principle, it's not that in Bishita Ramea holds that everybody Alpidin should get the same amount of bush. Alpidin, if Ramea really agrees, should really be Hakolafi Amavash Amizbash. But it's too hard to assess because there are some Aniyim who are very sensitive and there are some Ashim that's not sensitive at all. So the Chachamim made the sign Ashuma. Because the Gemara says in the bottom of Pevavim and Aleph, towards Mamash the Bam, Yibay Sem, the three lines from the bottom. In the time of Rav Meir, a cotton and a gadol don't get the same boshes. Rav Meir is masking. All the gadolim get one fixed amount of boshes, and all the ketanim get a different fixed amount of boshes. Not that Rav Meir holds up he didn't boshes is shoveh. So all the three shitas, Rav Meir, Rav Yudah, Rav Shimon, they all hold. Akolafiyam avayish on his bash. They all hold that there's a difference. Rav Meir says it's too difficult to make such a shuma as a fartik. We make the same shuma for everybody. And neither the Mishnah does not hold like Rav Meir. Mishnah says Akolafiyam avayish on his bash. We always have to make a shuma. But the Mishnah and Tzadik and Aleph has certain instances of boshes where they made a fixed amount in Fartik that everybody holds like Rav Meir in certain cases. We don't distinguish who was watching that time when the guy undressed me or when the guy slapped me. Were there 100 people watching? Were there 10 people watching? The people who are watching, are they the people who sign my paycheck? Are they the people who come to my shir? Are they strangers who don't even know who I am? So it should really make a big difference. So Taisa writes on paper, it's too hard to assess. So he just said, if he slapped me, pay so much. If he kicked me, pay so much. Huh? They've made a fixed amount. So Rameh holds, they've made a fixed amount on everything. It's always, in principle, Rameh also agrees, Hakolafiyam Abayisham is Baish. But Lamaisa, he says, it's too hard to assess. So we just have one fixed amount for Ketanim, one fixed amount for the Gedoyim. So now the Gemara has on Peheyam Abayis. The din requires a din minatari. You have to make a shuma. If the nechbal, let's say the chayva wants to make a package deal with the nechbal. So he says, I'll offer you $100,000. So the guy says, fine, okay. So $100,000, because of this nezik tzari b'shevis boshes, you have to go crazy and get a bezin to make a shuma. Whatever they'll agree upon. If the two of them both agree, it's fine. But if they don't agree, and the Chayvel only wants to pay the amount that he's Mechuyev, and the Nechba wants every penny that he's entitled to, he doesn't want to settle, he doesn't want to agree to some lump settlement. So you have to have a Bezna, make a Shuma. You have Bezna of three, has to make a Shuma. So the Shulma plays a role, Alpidin. It's recognized by the Halacha. It's not just Echetim to the Alma, you have no Brera. No, the Bezdin could have asked an expert. How much is he worth? No, the din is that you have to have a Bezdin to make the Shulma. The Gemara says to make a shuma on how much the tanim is worth, how much the kiraim is worth, because the parents died and the children are going to divide the Yerusha. So I'm going to take the microwave and he's going to take the oven and the other one to take the refrigerator. So you have to make a shuma, how much is everything worth? So that shuma has to be done by a bezin. So the shuma plays a role at pidin. So Rabbi has a suffix. Boy, Rabbi, what's a din? Kitis Yado, this is 20 lines from the bottom of Pehemi base. Kitas Yado Vilamdu, Shibras Raglu Vilamdu, Simes Yen Vilamdu, Vilibisayf Harashoi, then he finally makes him death. Mahu, what's the deal? Ki Amrinon, Mi Amrinu, should I say? Kevin Vilamdu, Bacharum, Nenasagile, Viagle, Mekule, Bahadi Hadodi, Oidil, Machoda, Chodam, Dinan, Viavinan, Lei. Very, very long arichas. Doesn't sound like a Gemara. Doesn't all sound like a Gemara. So that's what the Ravid writes on the Rambam. All these lines were added on by the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. And the Ravid holds that the Pshat in Rabbi Zibai. What it says in the Halachas Gedolos, what he added on, the Ravid in Hasagubat. Because the Rambam does not write like it says in the Gemara. So the Ravid says, no, we should follow what the Halachas Gedolos added on in the Gemara. This whole Loshon. And this is the problem. We're not sure exactly what he wrote over here. Dafkeminei, the boy lemeis v'leitzara boishes, he called chodah v'chodah. Nidin ezim v'yibishem v'chol chodah v'chodah. Yavinei, kinkei yavinei mekulei t'manu kathli damir. Ho yavinei mekulei. So boishem minu kol chodah v'chodah. What's the shot shot along arichas? So what's the upshot? What did he say? What's the suffix? So Taisus writes, the end of the long Taisus, Nehid the Nezik Ripoy, the Taisus says, V'nira L'ri, the Pshita the Mishalm Sar Boshis Ripoy the Kol Chanukha. Of course, he was Chayla four times. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sunday is, he chopped off an arm. Monday, he chops off a leg. Tuesday, he blinds him. And then Wednesday, he makes him a Cherish. He has to pay the Mekula. So more than the Mekula, you don't pay. You don't say I pay nezik for that, nezik for that, nezik for that, nezik for that. What you have to pay more than the mekula? Chayre not. But the only shayla is the tsar, the ripoy, the shevis, and the boshes. What does Tesla say? Nearly read the pshit misham tsar ripoy shevis the boshes kol chadu v'chada. And the boy look, you go, oh, shevis you're not going to pay. Once you pay the mekula, there's nothing to pay shevis about. So the only things you pay the mekula. But you have to pay tsar, ripui, and boshes. So do you make an omen kol chad v'chada? Do you make one omen? What's going to be an afkemina? So Taisus says, ben afkemina, the last line in the Taisus nahi. Ben afkemina, she'enel kol kak shamnim akol biyachad, kol shog shamnim kol achas bifnei atzma. If you do wholesale, If you're going to make an omen on four chavolas, so then it'll come out that everything is going to be less. If you're going to make each one separately, so each one is going to be a little more. So that was the Rava. That was Rava Zibai. Boy, Rava, he made four chavolas in four different days. Not that he beat him up in an hour, and then at the end of the hour he's half dead. No, then it's treated as one big chavola, and you make the less expensive shuma. But if he did four distinct chavolas, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each one was different. So do I make one big omen on everything, or do I have to make an omen separately? The shans will get a little, slightly more money. And then the Gemara has an intim siloima. Intim siloima, about 8 lines from the bottom. Intim siloima, one should assume. Kibin alam du. Koyaivle, the make kule, behadi hadadi. Since they never made an omen in between, so you make a wholesale omen, you make one big omen on the whole tsar, ripui, and boshes. So what would the din be if I'm duhum mahu? What if they did make an omen after the first chavola? And then he does a second chavola, but he didn't pay yet. Mi amrin on kev namdu charuchar boi lemeisav lei. Since they made an omen between the first and the second chavola, so he already made an omen on the first chavola, on the tsar and the ripui and the boshes. So then when he does the second Chabbalah, just make a separate omen. Or you say, no, since he didn't pay it yet. If he paid it already, then you make a separate omen on the second. But if he didn't pay it, so maybe now we should scratch the first omen that we made yesterday and make a new omen. That's the shayla. Me, I mean, it gave them to chada chada boy the meisav loy. Since they made an omen, so Zvik already has to pay that tsari puyim boshes for yesterday. Now we can't allow boy make another omen. Adum, it gave them shalim. Since it didn't pay yet, yaivle to make one. Maybe you can make one big omen together. Gemara says take. So that's a sofik mamayna lekula, and the Rambam and the Mechaber pask and he tofa slaim afkimine. And the Rambam is not happy. That's an all of Shulchan Aruch Hashemush. Whenever there's a sofik mamon, the Chabad always follows the Rambam. The Tokfa Koyin, Eimotzinos and Miyodah, whatever this is, Safik Mammon, and you did Tfisa, you grab it, you keep it. And the Rambam Paskins like Taisus and the Rosh, that if you grab it, you have to give it back. He taught us Mafkinim in it. But the Safik only is, in the second case, if Amdu, Veloy Shile. But if Lo Amdu, that the Gemara had an Intim Tziloima. So that's what the Rambam Paskin is like, the Intim Tziloima. So in that case, if Lo Amdu, so for sure, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Intim Tziloima, Kevin the Lo Amdu, Ki Avdei, the Mekuli, Behadi Adadi, since Lo Amdu is to make one big Omid, the only case that's is Nebai Leib Shita, if he did make an Omid, between the first and the second Chavol, do we ignore it and make one big Omid? Or do you say, no, we pay that Omid separately? They made four different Chavolas. Each time he made a Chavola, they made an omid after it, but it didn't collect yet. So do you say that you scrap all omid and you make one big omid now on the tsar reaping in boshes? Or should I say no? Since Bishaito, each chavol, each act of chavol had an omid, so it's a separate mechay.
We don't make a difference.
I don't know if you need, say, 10 or high at least. I don't know if you need either of them. I think Mara says that by Knas, you need, say, 10 or high at least. I don't know. Here by the Omen, I mean, would you need an Omen with a Psak, or the Omen alone is enough? Not sure. You're suggesting maybe Omen alone is not enough. Maybe the Omen in between means with a Psak. I would assume that not, because basically each chavala was separate. So if the first chavala had an omed, so sure, so it's a very nikva that maisa chavala was b'chai. I don't know. I would assume that you don't even need a psak. Then the Gemara has a three-way machlokes, rare, a three-way machlokes. What's the din? But he's not leaving a permanent scar. He's not leaving a permanent mum. Everything is going to grow back. But it's such a l'shaito. It's such a major chavala that if someone would want to buy him as an Eved Kenayni or as an Eved Ivri, whatever we're talking about, they would only give less amount of money because it's a little. It looks a little questionable whether he's going to recover or not. So that's the Gemara Safik. Boy Rabbi Sheves HaPachsas B'damim Mahu. Is there a din of Nezik in such a case? Or do you say there's only Sheves? So that's Machlekes Abai V'Rabbi. The Gemara says, Milsa Dim Boy Lei, Milsa Dim Safka Lei Le Rabbi, Pshinti Lei Le Abai Lahach Gise, or Le Rabbi Lahach Gise. But Abai holds, and we don't pass for like Abai, Abai holds that Sheves G'doyla is labeled as Nezik. Sheves HaPachsas B'damim is Nezik, and you do pay. And Rav, whose opinion is accepted, says you don't pay. But Shevis is Shevis, that's all. There's no Shevis. If it's only a temporary movement, it's going to grow back again later. So you only pay B'Teres Shevis, you don't pay B'Teres Nezik. So that's a machlokes that I believe. Then Abai Rav had another machlokes, which the way we have the gears is totally unrelated to the first machlokes. First machlokes is Ashara. What about Shevis Gedolah? Is there such a thing as Shevis Gedolah that it should be labeled as Nezik or not? So Rabbi says, no, it's only Shevis. Every day you have to see what kind of a job will he be able to hold down at the end. And maybe how much Shevis do you pay now? So Rabbi Shevis is going to be a higher Shevis. And Abai says, no, that we only pay Nezik over here. You don't have to pay any. No, Abai said you pay Shevis Gedolah, Shevis Ketanah. So So the shevis, according to Abaye, the shevis that you'll be paying won't be the same amount of shevis according to Rava. The Rava shevis is going to be higher. Abaye shevis is going to be lower because he's paying nozer. So that was the first machlokes Abaye Rava was, is that such a thing as shevis gedayla, that it should be labeled as nezer. Yeah. Then the Gemara has a second machlokes, which lachar is unrelated. Akateh yarevili v'shol chaveira. So the pashtus is that you pay shevis to the odon and pay nezek to the eved. The Gemara has a machlokes Abaye Rava that the way Tosis learns it. The shevis only goes to the odon. So the shevis goes to the odon because the odon is entitled to the ma'isi yodah. The shayla is nezik. So outright nezik is koter yodah. The mam she cut off his arm. So Abaye says, he gives shevis gedolah to the eved. Nezik is paid to the eved. And Rava comes up with the chiddush. Yeah, it goes to the eved. But it's meshubit to the Odon, so the Odon has the right to take that cash and invest it, and he's going to get the payers. So that was a very strange machloikas Abaye v'Rava, whether the Odon is entitled to any of the nezik when someone's chayvul in the Eved. So Tosha says, what's the din? I buy an Eved Ivri and he works for me for 6 years. In the middle of the 6 years, somebody was chayvul bar, and he can't function for 2 years. He's sick in the hospital for 2 years. Then he comes out later. So it comes out in the 6 years that I bought my Eved Ivri, he only worked 4 years. 2 years he was in and out of hospitals. He never did any work. Do you say that I bought him 6 years on the calendar, miyom liyom, and the 6 years are up, he goes free, even though he didn't do any work, didn't do a stitch of work for 2 years because he was in and out of hospitals? Or do you say no? That he has to work for 6 years. So Tosfos goes to the Gemara Kiddush. It depends more than half of the time or less than half of the time. If for more than half of the time he wasn't functioning at all, the other day he wasn't doing any work at all, then he has to be mashlin later. So you don't say that it's a calendaric date. It's nikva, the day that I sold him. It's really nikva when it's going to go free at the end of Sheish. No. Sometimes he has to give 6 years worth of work. If there was more than half of the 6 years he was incapacitated, was unable to do any malach at all, so then he has to, then the Eved Ivri has to make good. He has to work that amount of time after the Sheish is up. And if he was incapacitated by less than half of the time, then he doesn't have to make good. And even if he's incapacitated more than half the time, that's only if he wasn't able to function at all. Couldn't do any malach at all. Ain't always a shum malach. Allah yachal lishmet kishu and Hashem atesa. So then the Eved doesn't have to make good later on. So these are the dinim whether the Eved has to make good or not yet. This is a bein la bai bein the rabbi. That's not a machlokes. Bai v'rabbi just argued when the chayv v'chaver has to pay the nezik to the Eved, is the odon entitled to the revach on that? Do I say that the evorim of the Eved are meshuvah to the odon? So someone chops off an Eved, he's paying money bimkoim that Eved. So the Eved used to be meshuvah to the odon, so the money that's given now is meshuvah to the odon. So the odon should be entitled to the peiros on the money. Or do you say no? It's not that the meshuvah. When I have an Eved, he has to work for me. And here you have the money that was paid for the loss of the limb, so that money is not meshuvah. So it's unclear. What's the machlokes? What are they fighting about? So that's what Eli Belazan suggested a good pshat based on the Gemara later. He's finished off the pshat. He said, maybe just because the Eved is meshuvah to work for the Adon, the Eved loses an arm. So it's only meshuvah to work to the extent without an arm. So just because the whole Eved was meshuvah, he lost an arm, doesn't mean that the money that he gets now for loss of the arm should be meshuvah to the Adon. But if you say the Adon owns the Eved with respect to, it's like Dekele Peres, the Adon owns the Eved Ivri with respect to the obligation to serve the Adon. So if the Adon owns the Eved, Kedekele Peres, that's what Rava says. Zosameres, Eved Ivri Gufo Kone. So if the Adon owns the Eved, so the money that's given as payment of the missing arm of the Eved, that's bimkoim the arm. So the Adon should be entitled to that money also. But if you say the Yodin doesn't own the Eved, like Abai, Tain is later on in the Sugya of Gezalak. The Yodin doesn't own the Eved, the only thing is the Eved is Meshubit to work for the Yodin. So Meshubit, and then the Eved loses his arm in a Chavolah. So less, the Eved is less. So the arm is gone. So just because the money was paid because of the lack of the arm, because some of his Chavolah caused him to lose his arm, doesn't mean that that money should be Meshubit to the Yodin. So it could be that that's Machloik Zabai Verov. By Choyel Bevedi Bishal Chaveiro, whether the Yodan is entitled to the Paris on the karka that they're going to buy from the money that's paid for the Nezah. So Abai holds that the Yodan is entitled, Rava holds not, maybe that's the Shani. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. What do we make up? I forgot already that Sunday and Tuesday, I'm not here. And Monday, I think I'm going to give a normal shiur. Okay?